that with the knowledge of no more than what you have right here, you can win souls. I believe you need at least this much knowledge. You need to understand, first of all, that the value of one soul, that's why I gave you Matthew 16:26 to learn. I want you to quote that thing to yourself every day throughout the rest of your life. The value of one soul. The vanity of everything else, but the reality of continuing to do the work of the Lord. That's why I got 1 Corinthians 15:58. What are you? Are you important, Don? Quote me a verse telling me how important you are. Amen. Now then, we are ambassadors. You know what I am? I am an ambassador from the courts of heaven to the world. Did you know that? I mean, I'm not in a little pipsqueak somewhere. Brother, I am an ambassador. I am an ambassador from the courts of heaven. I am the personal representative of Jesus Christ on this earth. Now then, we are ambassadors. The next time you walk in and the medical doctor looks down at you and says, what are you doing inside this hospital? Don't you know you're not supposed to be disturbing these patients? Pardon me, sir. Are you saying? What? Pardon me, sir. Are you going to heaven when you die? What are you talking about? I mean, I'm an important person. Listen to me. Put him on the defensive. You're the important person. You belong to Jesus Christ. You are an ambassador of the courts of heaven. And you deal in the eternal souls of men. That's why that verse is in there. That's why I put it in there. Proverbs 11:30. What does that tell you?
The wise.
Wise man. That's right. Wise man. Now the world's going to think you're a fool. In the next few weeks, you're going to think you're a fool. I promise you, you're going to knock on some doors, and you're going to walk away from that, and you're going to come away from a day of business, this brother knows. You're going to come away from a day of business, and you're going to feel like the biggest fool, like you got 4 feet and 10 thumbs. Like your nose is screwed on wrong. Like you're some sort of freak or deformed person. What does my Bible say? He that winneth souls is what? Now then, the people are going to come to the door. What do you want? What do you want? Did you know that I'm cooking supper? Do you know how important cooking supper is? Do you realize I got a hungry family to feed? Did you know that my favorite soap opera was on? You're going to feel like the biggest knot on the log ever was. You're going to feel like a fool. And you're going to tell yourself you're a fool. And Satan's going to add to it, yeah, you're a fool. You're a fool. Everybody else living up, having a good time. Why, look at the saints. Good saints sitting home watching television right now. They're watching Gilligan's Island. And just think, you're out here. They're watching My Three Sons while they're getting on the news of the world. And you're out here. You stand out here late at night talking to this person that's never going to listen to you. Oh, he that winneth souls is wise. Is God's word right? It's right whether you fail or not. It's right whether you succeed or not. It's right whether you're successful in the eyes of people or not. It's right. He that winneth souls is wise. They that sow in tears may possibly reap in joy. Oh, did I quote that wrong? Did I quote that wrong? Somebody correct me. Shall. Shall. You know the difference between may and shall? You ought to know. Shall is as definite a statement as you could make. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Now bless your heart. When God breaks your heart over some souls, you're going to reap. It may not be exactly one person. It may not be in one area. But you're going to reap. You're going to reap, and your reaping is going to be in joy. And there's going to be victory there. These verses are there for that reason. Now then, the Roman road, Romans 6:23, 6:23, 5:8, 10:9, 10:13. You stay in one book. They're out to go from one book. You can mark it and you simply go to that one book. And over and over, I've used this over and over and over and over again. It's so easy to do. You just flip a few pages back and forth. You stand in one book. Everybody knows you're still in Romans. All right, you're dealing with this one book that deals with salvation. You can learn those verses, go back and forth in them all you want to. And from here on in, you can tell that same story right out of Romans and tell people the plan of salvation. From here on in. And there's enough there to save every lost soul there is, if you but believe it and act upon it.
Or there's another rule. I gave you, given you a second rule. Romans 3:23, 6:23, John 1:12, Revelation 3:20. All have sinned. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. How do you get it? As many received Him, and then gave you power to become the sons of God, believing on His name. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now that's a verse given to the church. Boy, it's got a spiritual application to a lost soul. You can just take that verse, and Jesus Christ said, "Behold, I stand at the door. You're knocking. He's knocking at your heart right now. Do you hear Him? He says, I want Him. I want to come into your life and change it. I want to come in and forgive your sins. I want to save your soul. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Is any man here? Do you hear Him? I don't hear Him. Well, I'm not going to do you much good, but do you hear Him? Yeah, I hear Him. I know He's dealing with me. If any man hear my voice and open the door, will you, by your will you open the door and let me come in? Yes, I will. Okay. Pray with me. That's very simple. Beautiful. Four little verses. 3:23, 6:23 of Romans, John 1:12, Revelation 2:20. Why in the world is Ezekiel 33:11 there? Shows the love of God. He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God takes pleasure in a repenting sinner. God takes pleasure in people that call upon Him. God takes no pleasure in throwing out His judgment. God takes no pleasure in hell. God takes no pleasure in the perishing of mankind. What do I need to know? I need to know that God desires the world to hear it. And that fellow may need to know it sometime. You may go over this right here and go, "Oh no, man, I'm doomed. God wouldn't listen to me. God wouldn't hear me. God won't pay attention to anything I say." Wait a minute. You got God down wrong. You misunderstood. Do you believe? Are you sorry for your sin? Then listen to what He says. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn. There's your repentance. That the wicked turn from his way and live. Why would you die? Why will you die? You don't have to die. All you got to do is turn. No matter where you are, God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Turn! You don't believe that? Take it to 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness, but His long-suffering to usward. Not willing that any should perish. Any. Oh, but now God's mad at me. God's going to... No, He's not willing that any should perish. And the day when you get to thinking that, well, I guess I've reaped all there is for me to reap, nothing else for me to do. Wait a minute. God's not willing that any should perish. Well, I've been on this block all day. I haven't caught anybody on this block. God is not willing that any should perish. Nobody wants to listen to me. But God is not willing that any should perish. I better keep on going. There may be somebody down there I'm supposed to reach. There may be another house I'm supposed to talk to. There may be another little boy that's supposed to listen. God is not willing that any should perish. That's the love of God. God's great love. God's interest in soul winning. Isaiah 55:7. Let the wicked forsake his way. Now many people want to get saved without coming to Jesus Christ. They want to stay doing what they're doing. Don't give a flip. There has to be repentance. Except you repent, you shall perish. There has to be repentance. A person must turn to God. It doesn't mean that you have to deal with a person and try to make him give up his cigarettes, his gambling, his drinking, his smoking, beating his wife. You know, you don't deal with that. You deal with Christ. And you deal with the soul, the individual. And let Christ work out after he gets saved. And yet I have had people that would not get saved because they were not willing to turn and they knew it. Therefore, they would not turn. They would not turn. All right. John 6:37. Man, if you've got all the rest of the verses I gave you there to help you, that to me is the most important verse in the whole bunch. All that the Father gives me shall come to me. You can forget the first half, except there's a promise for you as you go. But don't ever forget that last half. You're dealing with a soul who says, God will not hear him. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise, in no manner, in no way cast out. Boy, what a verse. I will not cast him out. Now, there's my promise as I go. I have a trust that all that the Father gives him is going to come to him. That's my predestination. But here's man's will. Him that cometh. I don't see him as two sides of the same coin. Him that cometh to me, I don't know why I cast out. When man starts getting hung up on predestination, I say, another side, will you come? Well, I don't guess I was predestined. Well, will you come? If you come, you're predestined, brother. If you won't come, you ain't predestined. Fellow said, well, I'm saved anyway. Well, when you come to Jesus. No, I'm not coming. I don't have to come to Jesus to be saved. Fellow, you ain't going to make it. It's Him that cometh. I can tell whether or not you're predestined or not. Right quick.
If you come to Jesus, you're predestined to be saved. If you don't come to Jesus, you're predestined to be lost.
Like any way you like.
Take any way you like.
I don't care.
You can get all hung up on predestination and man's will. The plain simple truth is, my friends, those that come to Jesus are the saved, the elect for all the end of ages of eternity. If you will come, I won't cast you out. Now that's the promise of Jesus Christ. In no manner, in no wise, in no way will I cast you out. Okay? Now, we're going to look at the beautiful feet society. You might take some notes on this. In Acts 20:20, we find that the beautiful feet society is absolutely scriptural. Because Paul says, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." Now let me tell you something. This house-to-house visitation is church building. Whether you like it or not, it's the most difficult thing you'll ever do. It's a whole lot more glorious to stand up in front of 50 people or even 20 people or 1,000 people and preach the gospel and see one soul come down the aisle. Or even see no souls come down the aisle. Oh, that's glorious. But the scriptural way is house-to-house. I've taught you from house-to-house. Now, there's several things about this house-to-house. First of all, it's scriptural. Second of all, you can reach people in this way that can be reached in no other way. I don't care if you preach on the streets, preach on the radio, preach on the television. If you put it in the newspapers, you're going to miss somebody. The only way you reach every creature and you fulfill the Great Commission is house to house. Everybody lives somewhere. Everybody has a spot. It may be in a corner of an old vacant building downtown, but he's got a spot. He's got a place. If you systematically cover every place there is, then you've got to sooner or later catch somebody. Everybody. That's how they take censuses. House to house. Now then, it's not only scriptural. You can reach some people that way. You couldn't reach any other way. It's the only way to reach all the people. Absolutely. The only way you can reach all the people is by house to house visitation. There's no other way to get all the people. Now people think, oh, if I just write tracts and if I'll just get on the radio or if I'll just be like Billy Graham and have a tremendous campaign or if I'll become a full-time evangelist. No. Every one of these missed people. It's amazing how many people they miss. We've been visiting and we've talked to people and we've dealt with friends of people, which are our best prospects. Absolutely, the most fruitful prospects are your friends. People that you know or people that know somebody that's saved. But the truth of the matter is, even though they may be the best prospects, he said, preach the gospel to every creature. And the only way you reach every creature is to reach every household. And the only way you reach every household is go to every block and systematically cover every single one of them throughout the time. It's not only scriptural, it's the only way you can reach some people. Absolutely, the only way you can reach all the people. All right, it lets you know how people live. You know something? So many times we preach and we just simply do not understand the conditions of people who preach to. You walk in, you preach a nice little sermon, and you may not even know the needs of your people. You may not know their condition, their problems. The only way you're ever going to know it, as a missionary, as a pastor, is going to their home. You have got to know the people in the home. You're going to come to the place sometime, and I promise you, you're going to find this. I didn't know she lived in a house like that. I just didn't know they lived in a house like that. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. The conditions people come out of. Some of them are great and fantastic. You think, well, that guy's as rich as he is. I know he's that well off. And somebody else, well, I didn't know they were so poor. I didn't know they were hungry all the time. I didn't know they had any clothes. But it's amazing they're as faithful as they are, as clean as they are. You may be bad-mouthing somebody because they come and they're dirty and they don't look real good. You go find their home and find the tremendous condition of poverty that they're in. It'll make a difference in your heart. House-to-house visitation will let you understand the people you're preaching to and dealing with as nothing else that you can do will do. Now, that gives you an opportunity for dealing with souls at all times. I'll guarantee you most of the people in the homes you're going to go to are lost. They may tell you they're saved. Most of them are lost. Most of the people you go to, and if they're not lost, even those that you deal with, the most of them you deal with, they're going to say they're saved. If they are saved or so backslidden, they haven't been to church in I don't know when. Tell you what, you just be late to church one day and look at all the cars that have stood at home. on your block, in your neighborhood. Do you realize how many people go to church in your neighborhood? I bet there aren't 3 families on the block you live on. 5, 10? Maybe not any. You're going to be dealing with people. You have an opportunity of dealing with souls. Not only lost souls, you deal with Christians. You're going to meet people that are backslidden. You're going to meet people that are bitter. You're going to meet people that have been whipped by sin and have given up. You're going to meet people that one time were preachers or teachers or nurses or missionaries. And you're going to meet people who used to teach Sunday school classes. They're not doing anything anymore. You've got an opportunity to deal with souls. Not only lost souls, but backslidden souls. I didn't say it was easy. I just said it gives you an opportunity to deal with souls. But you won't get out here because they're not going to come. Most of the people you deal with in house to house are never going to enter this church building. Most of them never are. And most of them you'll never get anywhere. Who's going to reach them then? You think they're going to come? We have a big campaign. Let's say we invite Peter Ruckman down here and tell the whole neighborhood. Well, we got Peter Ruckman. If we had Billy Graham come in here and tell the whole world Billy Graham's in here, oh, we'd have a crowd that would drive for 100 miles around to here if we couldn't pack them out. But the neighborhood wouldn't come. People across the street wouldn't come. People down the road wouldn't come. They couldn't care less. They couldn't care less. You're not going to get them in here unless you go out to them. That's why Jesus told us to go. It's not that we're going to win them through the church. It's that we've got to go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come into His house. But it's good you've got to go. Now, visiting house to house sanctifies the home. You simply don't realize how many people would look upon it as a great honor to have somebody come by and visit. Now, if you do enough house-to-house visits, you're going to think I'm crazy because there's not going to be anybody that wants to see you. But that's not altogether true. You go another block and somebody's going to invite you in and listen to everything you've got to say and really be interested. I had a lady tell me just this week, she said, "Oh, Brother Lindell, I really appreciate you taking your time to come here and cheer an old lady up." My thought made me feel good. I said, "Well, I did a little good today. Well, great. I saw somebody want to see you." Praise God. Thought it makes you feel good to see somebody wants to see you. Listen to me. It sanctifies the home. And the reason why it sanctifies the home, you talk to them about spiritual things, you read the Bible to them, and you pray. That does anybody's home good. You talk to them. You read the Bible to them. And you pray. And the eighth thing about house-to-house visitation, that's the why, anybody can do it. But it's not restricted to college and seminary degree. It's not restricted to ability and talent. It's not restricted like anybody can do it. Jesus made the Great Commission so fantastic and soul-winning so great that anybody, literally anybody, can do it. Now, I want you to think with me a minute about house-to-house visitation. First of all, it's scriptural. It reaches people in a way that cannot be reached in the other way. It's the only way to reach all the people. He lets you know how people live. He gives opportunity for dealing with souls. It sanctifies the home. So you talk, you read the Bible, you pray. It should result in many conversions. It should result in many people being saved. And anybody can do it. Now, I'll get the how-to after the break. We'll take a break now. It's 5 minutes till. You've got 5 minutes. Take a break. Get your drink of water. Go to the restroom. Do as you please. Now, how do you go house to house visitation? Take some notes and think about this. How do you go to house to house visitation? All right. How's the best way to do it? Well, have a definite time to go. Your starting is your biggest problem. You're going to give yourself 100,000 excuses over the next 20 years to not go, because at times you're not going to want to go. You'll do all right once you get started. But your problem is getting started. Your biggest problem. That doesn't mean you'll always do all right once you get started, because some days you get very discouraged. Some days things may hit you very wrong. But you need to have a definite time. You need to make up your mind you're going to give a certain amount of hours. Just like you give certain hours to bowling, you give certain hours to football, you give certain hours to eating, You give certain hours to work. You give certain hours to mowing the lawn. Give certain hours to visiting. Give certain hours for knocking on doors. You might give it one day a week. You might give it two afternoons a week. You might give it a short amount of time every day. But you need to give a certain definite time that you're going to set aside that you can. And if something comes up to break that time, substitute another time for it, just like you would at work or something else. You need a definite time each week that you're going to give to doing the Lord's work, and especially to house-to-house visitation. Now, another thing you need to remember is be systematic and be thorough. Be systematic and be thorough. By systematic, I mean that you cover each house and each block, and you go down one street until you finish that one. Then you go down another street until you finish that one. You go down another street until you finish that one. You go down another street until you finish that one. And when you come to the point and somebody says, "Where have you been?" You say, "Well, I've covered this street, this block, this block." You know where you stop. Now, if you just drop in on this house and drop in on that house and drop in on that house and drop in on another house, you're never going to know where you've been. You won't know whether you missed anybody or not. You won't know whether everybody at least got an invitation, or everybody at least got a track, or everybody at least got talked to. You won't know that. If you're going to cover an area, then the only way to cover it is to get a map out your area, know where you're going, and then start on one block and take whether it might be simply one block a week. And that's all I really ask you to do. Anything more than that, praise God. That's wonderful. But if you'll cover one block completely, every house, one block a week, be systematic. In other words, if you go knocking at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and one half of the homes don't have anybody there, just take a little card or a book along with you, write down the address of the people that aren't home and come back another time when they would be home. Come back in the afternoon or at night. Cover one block a week. Now then, be systematic and be thorough. Now you can take a little book, like one of these little books you carry in your pocket. Sometimes that'll help you. Sometimes you can take cards. I've always liked cards. The only problem with cards is you lose them. But cards are very handy, and they're easy to carry, and you're easy to put them back over into a book of prospects or good prospects. In other words, be systematic and be thorough. Know the houses that were home. If you find somebody that's real receptive, you know, that listens to you, is very nice, and doesn't mind listening, well, get their name down, get their address down, and come back and visit them again. That'd be somebody you'd come back home, say, a week's time, and just drop by for a few minutes on your way to visit another block and talk to them again for a few minutes. And then another week you'd come by, and you might actually get into this home and actually lead them to Christ or be able to bring them to the house of the Lord. So you keep some names and you keep some addresses and you know something about them. Well, saved. These are saved people, but unchurched. These are unsaved people, but they're friendly. Now, there are certain houses you may never go back to for a long period of time. But there again, it doesn't hurt sometime to go back and cover the same area again. If you've covered the area one time, start over it again. Be systematic. Be thorough. Complete every house. Put out names and addresses, because sometimes you may think you've got a good memory. It's amazing how much better a sharp pencil is than a long memory, really. Now, know good prospects. Don't neglect or skip anyone. That house that you think is nothing but a bum in it may be the next preacher of the gospel that you're going to reach. You don't know. You literally don't know. One of the sweetest couples I had to deal with in a northern town, her husband had run a bar for years and he loved it. Why, she didn't drink anything, wouldn't drink anything at that time. She's saved. Somebody came to them and reached them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There were people running a nightclub with strippers for years. Somebody reached them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Men of the great evangelists were drunken bums in a rescue mission. Somebody reached them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I myself was a very hard-talking and a rough sort of an individual that some people wouldn't even have thought to witness to. But somebody witnessed to him, and I got saved. There was a sorry rascal that got saved because somebody went to him. Cindy was a little Catholic that didn't care anything about Protestantism. Yeah. And her daddy wouldn't go to a Protestant church. But they got reached. They got reached. You see, you don't know where the seed's going to fall into good ground. You don't know the opportunity that's going to be there. You don't know. This person may bring forth 100-fold and you didn't think him even worthy the time of a tithe. You be thorough. Don't skip anybody. Don't skip any house. Don't neglect children. Go back to those that aren't home, and go back to those that are good prospects at another time. Now then, always pray. Always pray. Pray before you go visiting. You may think it doesn't make any difference. I believe it makes a whole lot of difference. You may not see the result. That doesn't matter. I believe you ought to ask God's blessing upon your visit. I believe you ought to ask for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Where? In Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and the uttermost part of the world. God, the Holy Spirit, is in the business of empowering soul winners. Now it takes faith to believe that. You must believe that when you go, that God Almighty is going to use you. Whether you see anything or not, God's going to use you. One of the most discouraging things to people is that they so many times believe they're not being used, and many times they quit. The problem is faith. It's in your own mind. You keep going to enough people, you're going to reach somebody with Jesus Christ. You keep going to enough people, you're going to bless somebody. You keep going to enough people, and God's going to use you. But you need to pray. You need to pray with the person you're going to visit. When you go, you need to pray for God's wisdom and for God's power. And you need to pray for the blessing of the Holy Spirit upon your testimony and your witness as you go. Now then, you need to pray while you're visiting also. Look for opportunity. Be helpful. You know, there's somebody out and he's mowing his lawn. And you decide, I got to get to that house over there right quick. No. Go out there and talk to him while he's mowing his lawn. There's a lady walking out and she's going to go to our mailbox. Well, see, if you can't talk to her, go to the mailbox. Maybe there's four kids sitting there playing jacks. Take what opportunity comes your way. Suppose you go up to a house and you're looking for Mrs. Marsh that lives at this house, but Mrs. Johnson lives at that house. Well, Mrs. Johnson, how do you do? Are you saved? Well, I was hunting for Mrs. Marsh. Well, she lives down the street. Well, that's right, Mrs. Johnson. I thank the Lord that you were here. I'm just so happy that I got to talk to you. Now, let me ask you, are you saved, Mrs. Johnson? Because you might have went out for Mrs. Marsh, and Mrs. Johnson was there. And Mrs. Johnson might have needed the blessing, and the Holy Spirit knew that all along. You understand? You look for opportunities. Now then, look for ways to be helpful. Look for ways to be kind. Look for ways to be courteous. You know, don't walk in the house and say, sure got a dump here. Man, I tell you, my house, I got a lot better cats than that. My dog is a purebred dog. That's a little mutt. I mean, look for opportunities to do good. Well, isn't that a good-looking puppy? Man, it's a good cat. It's a comfortable cat. I bet y'all like. No, I don't really have that. Well, I like cats. It's all right. Aren't those cute kids? You can learn to be helpful. You know, if something's going wrong, he wouldn't help you pick up leaves with a fellow and talk to him about the gospel. It would help you to help him work on his car for a little while and talk to him about the gospel. It would help. It would hurt for one of you to hold the baby on the lap while somebody talks about the gospel. Look for opportunities. Be soul conscious. Be soul conscious. There's souls all over. I'll tell you something else. Take an interest in what they're interested in and don't overlook children. You may win a child of the Lord Jesus Christ when you don't think you'd have any chance of winning anybody. In fact, I have literally been winning talking to one person and won the other person to the Lord. I did dealing with a husband and dealt with him for 2 hours and got his wife under such conviction it was unreal. She got saved that night. He didn't. And that's the truth. I literally dealt for 2 or 3 hours and lost him. I mean, really just working him over with everything I could have been, trying to scare the hell out of him. What I was trying to do. He still had hell in him, but she got it out of her. Praise God. I tell you what, I'm dealing with him. She's over there just dying. Can't wait to get saved. Afraid she's going to die before I get through. She got saved and that man turned on her. Boy, talk about suffering the persecution. She did that night. First night she got saved, the devil in him just rose up and gave her, "Ha, you don't look any different to me. Ha, you witch, you." Blankety blank blank. Boy, he gave her everything on the sun. He got saved next week. But all this time, I'm dealing with him. I had him on my heart. I wasn't even thinking about her. I wasn't paying attention to her. I was dealing with him. Finally, I got so mad at him. I said, "Well, go to hell then. You want to go to hell? Go to hell then." I turned to his wife. I said, "Would you be saved?" She said, "Oh, I want to be saved." Praise God. I led her to the Lord. Hey, I've been working on the wrong one, maybe the whole time. Look for opportunities. You don't know. Don't overlook children. Don't overlook somebody sitting in the other room. Even though you don't think they're listening, they're sitting there watching television. They can't get you out of their mind. Whether you see it or not, deal with them. All right. Put your best foot forward. You ought to look neat. You ought to be clean and neat. Don't let anything in your dress be offensive. Don't try to wear the most modish or the most different or try to be the sloppiest fellow in town. Put your best foot forward. Look neat. Now, use kindness. Use tact. Learn them. Use a little bit of common sense, courtesy. It pays. It really does. Make sure your appearance and your breath and your attitude. Now, I know that some of us have sinus drainage. You've got all sorts of things. You might have just left work. You might have just had a hamburger with pickles and onions and what have you. But it doesn't hurt to carry some mint, because you're going to be dealing now. I'm going to be dealing with Brother Taylor, and I'm sitting here talking to him. I put my arm around him and dealing with him. He's sitting there. You know? It doesn't hurt to use a little common sense and have your breath clean. And take a bath once a day. You know it doesn't hurt, you know, twice a day? Even the skin will wear away. Believe it or not, that soap will not ruin your body. Take a bath. Change clothes. Change clothes often. Go clean. Go neat. Go courteous. Look at your breath and remember your attitude. I am the holy, most reverend so-and-so, and I'm here to tell you that I'm one of the best in the world, and I'm on the road to heaven. Ha ha! Don't you wish you was with me?
Yeah.
Gotta watch out. Now, seriously, your attitude needs to be as a common friend, a brother, an average person, a person who's interested in their soul. Go two by two. I go visiting many times by myself because I don't have anybody to go with me at a given time. But you are by far safer to go two by two. When one of you gets discouraged, and everybody gets discouraged visiting, maybe the other one's not discouraged at the same time. I can remember one time I was in a revival meeting. I was literally so discouraged. We'd gone through Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, and I mean, we knocked on doors. We didn't do a bit of good as far as I could tell. And boy, this was Tuesday, and we'd been going since about 9 o'clock in the morning, and it was 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I was literally worn out. I was up late every night, and getting up early in the morning, and going, and being with people. I was tired, and I was just worn out. And, you know, we knocked on houses. We couldn't even get in the doors of the houses. I mean, you know, people didn't want to talk to us. They were too busy for this, too busy for that. And I was just so discouraged. I said, brother, I don't know. Maybe we better call it a day. Now, let's go to one more house. I was discouraged. He wasn't. Or he wasn't as bad as I was. That next house, I want to wife to the Lord. She was ready. Absolutely one of the most ready people I've ever witnessed to in all my life was this little woman. Had one baby on her hip and another toddler hanging on to her dress and her finger. And that poor woman says, we'd like to talk to you about Jesus Christ. Oh, come in, please. They started stood at the door wondering what we ought to do, you know. First house in 3 days. Anybody wanted to invite us in and talk to us about the Lord, would you please come in? And I take the gospel in there. And I took the lead, and I began to deal with it. I began to show the word that you're a sinner. Oh, I know it. I know it. Boy, I know it. Well, wages of sin is death. You're going to go to hell. Oh, I'm scared to death. Oh, what have I got into? I didn't understand this. I'm always trying to convince people there is a hell, you know. And most of them don't even believe it, couldn't care less, and what have you. Here's this poor lady. She's literally trembling. And so, I began to deal with her, and I said, well, boy, God loves you. I've heard that. I've heard that. Jesus Christ said, if you call upon him, he'll save you. Will he really? Well, you know, that's wonderful. I've been thinking about this. I've been praying about this. Somebody planted a lot of seed before I got there. I didn't plant the seed and reap it the same day. Somebody planted a whole lot of seed in that house. And she'd been thinking about it. She just didn't know how. I said, would you get on your knees and ask God to have mercy upon you, to forgive your sins and come in your heart and save your soul? She said, oh, yes, please. She got out there, and I mean, we weren't in that house 5-10 minutes. That woman was saved. I went back and held a revival meeting. Held 3 weeks of revivals in that church, you know. She'd be sitting right back on the left of the aisle, just about right here. Every night I preach. A year later, every night I preach. A year later, she's still there. That's because I was discouraged. I got to lead the Lord. I don't preach to get to lead the Lord. I got to lead the Lord. You think about that. And he was the one that got me to the house. I was whipped. I was tired. Man, I walked out of that house. I wasn't tired anymore. Isn't it amazing? I wasn't tired anymore. I was going, hey, let's go. Let's take them all. Woo! Where's some more? You know? You're ready to go. Boy, I just seen glory. I just seen heaven open. Go two by two. Not only is it safer, as best you can, as often as you can, it's Jesus' way. Jesus sent his disciples out two by two. He made them go that way. It not only encourages. Now, let me give you a little hint. When you go two by two and one of them begins to deal with a person, you may think you know more about it than they do, but don't interrupt. One of the worst things you can do is to literally interrupt your partner while he's dealing with the soul. What you're doing is Let's say I'm trying to get an in with this person. I'm talking to him about the weather or I'm talking to him about the car out there. And you just say, hey, I got a real good car. Boy, you want to see what I just did in my... Well, now, about the time I get ready to start dealing with a soul, you come in with something else. Or about the time you think you've got it just ready to bring in your answer, well, then I decide to say, well, you know, boy, the stock market is really taking a crash lately. Oh, you've literally blown it. You've done your best to just take their attention away from the main thing that they're dealing with. Do not interrupt. Now, it may be that you will have the end to talk. It may be the other person will have the end to talk. Whoever's got the end, let him take it. Now, if he runs out of soap, he can look through and say, help. Then you can come in. It's a different matter. But that's what you're there for. When one of them runs out of soap, the other one's got some help. Now then, maybe a baby starts crying or somebody comes to the door. The guy that's dealing shouldn't have to get up and deal with that. The other person should get up and take care of that to keep him dealing. But it doesn't change a baby's diaper. Go answer the door and talk to somebody there. Help out in whatever. I mean, if the stove's got something boiling, well, I'll turn it down. The TV is blaring out really loud. Well, I'll turn that off. Be a helpful partner, going two by two. One of you can deal and the other one can help. And by the way, when you're praying for them, and you're in there, don't be over there, oh, Lord, help them out. Lord, touch them. Woo, glory. Lord, help them out. You just sit there and look at them right straight in the eye, just as sweet, and in your mind be saying, Lord Jesus, break their heart. Lord, bless my brother. He's a little bit off the track right now. Bless him. Get him on the track. Help him remember that verse, Lord. Don't say a word. Don't walk up to the house. Glory! Woo-hoo! We're here to praise Jesus. Hallelujah! Amen! They'll lock the door on you so fast it'll be unreal. You never get to talk to them. Glory! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! And I believe in praising the Lord. You know that, don't you? But when I ask Brother Al, when I'm walking up the house, somebody, and we may be walking down, nobody here, I say, praise the Lord, Al. He said, praise the Lord, man. We start walking up the house, we look like two businessmen walking up there. As much as we can look like it. And we walk up there. We don't walk up there and say, glory, hallelujah, praise God, come out and get saved. You know why? They think you're a nut anyway. You walk up like that, they're going to know it. They will be so scared of you, they're already scared of you, but they just see you coming. They know they're in for trouble. They'll start running and hiding when you start walking down the street. But I guarantee you start doing that, they'll bolt the doors and turn the dogs loose. So the same way when you're praying inside a house and you're dealing with someone, just pray, looking at them, smiling, even talking to them if you have to, but all the time in your mind you can pray without ceasing and you can talk to the Lord and lift up your partner and help them. Now, be careful about going in. If you are one man alone, sometimes you may go into a house with a woman alone. If you're a woman alone, you may sometimes, I can't say that never because I've seen the time where I won a soul to Christ, where I might not want them if I haven't. And yet, it's not the safest thing to do. It's not the safest thing to do because all they got to do is lie on you. You know how hard it is to combat a lie? You believe the devil's in the business of lying? Many a preacher's been ruined. Pastor of a church has been absolutely ruined by a lie that didn't mean a thing, nothing but gossip. Maybe he let himself in for it, maybe he didn't, but it ruined him anyway. Same thing can happen to you. I'll guarantee you, if it's said, even your closest friends may believe it. You better be careful about where you go in. You might better deal out in the front yard or something like that, unless you have somebody with you to go in or there's somebody else home. You need to be careful. Now then, stay on the subject. You're going to want to tell them how much you know about the Bible and about the three robes or about the crucifixion of Christ or about something else. You're going to be so tempted to let them know how you solved the Genesis riddle. Forget it. You're going to be tempted to talk about all sorts of politics, and they're going to bring it up. Oh, they're going to bring up everything under the sun. They're going to talk to you about television. They're going to talk to you about football. They're talking about the evils of dope and crime and murder and all this other stuff. You're there to deal with their soul about heaven. Do your best to stay on the track. When you first go in a house, sure, take 5 minutes and just discuss the weather or their nice house or their new picture or their sweet little dog that you literally despise, but they love it. You know, take a little time to be tactful and to be sweet and to be thoughtful and look for an opportunity to slip the scriptures in. But Once you get to the point where you start dealing with a subject, and sometimes you're better off not to even force it. Sometimes you can get an end, sometimes there's just no way to get an end. But when you can, and if you can, and lead into it as best you can, lead into what you're there for. To give them the gospel. Now, get into the scriptures as quickly as you can. Stay on the subject. I'll tell you another reason. I had you quote all these verses. I want you to continue to memorize them. We're going to work on them a little bit tonight. I'm going to get through with this here in a minute. But at any rate, I had you do that, but I don't want you going in showing how many scriptures you can quote. Years ago when I first started preaching, I've got a fairly quick mind. I can remember things very fast. I memorize things fairly quickly. And just go over a few times in my head, and I pretty well got it. I got the place I would take my text, take my little bitty Bible, or my great big Bible, and I'd take my text and open my Bible up, and I'd read that text, close my Bible, and from there I wouldn't touch a thing. Nope. And I'd quote verses of Scripture. And I'd get what I wanted. I had it in my head, because I'd already put them down and memorized them as I was going over it, as I worked with them. But you know what? People sit there and say, ooh, man, that looks pretty good. I like that. Mm-hmm. Boy, he's got a good memory. You know what we do now? People bring their Bibles and go, now turn, that's Matthew, now that's the first book of the New Testament, or that's Acts, that's the fifth book of the New Testament. Well, you know, just turn to the right a little bit and get over and you'll find Philippians. You know why? I want you to read it right out of the book. It's not that I couldn't quote it, or that you couldn't quote it, but you know something, when you hear it in your ears and see it with your eyes and stick it in your head, it stays there better. And you know whether or not I'm telling you the truth or not. You can check me out with the book right there in your hand. The same way when you're dealing with somebody. You can sit there, and the reason why you need to memorize them is there may be a time that you cannot give it to them any other way. They're not going to listen any other way. But what you can do is quote it, because you can just go into it and begin to quote it to them. But if you can, and they will allow you, use that Bible and act like you're reading it. Read it along with them as you can. Upside down, if you please, and I have come to a place I can read them upside down. If I'd even forgotten the verse, I go blank on the verse, I can catch that word and take off. But you read the scriptures to them right out of the New Testament. Carry a New Testament with you. Maybe in your back pocket. If you don't carry your whole Bible, you may carry your whole Bible, you may carry your New Testament. I find it easier in witnessing to carry something but the New Testament. Most of the time I carry nothing but the New Testament. But what I'm dealing with, I can get it from the New Testament, Psalm, something like that. Or I may even carry just the gospel portion of Matthew or one of Romans, or that's 2,000 or more. Now, when you're dealing with them, and you've dealt with a subject, and you've led them through the plan of salvation, and they're ready, they're really ready to be saved, then go ahead and leave them to the Lord. Get them to pray the sinner's prayer. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Save my soul by the blood of Jesus Christ. You can lead them in that. You can help them do it. God, be merciful to me, sinner. Save my soul in the blood of Jesus Christ. This is simple. And then show them John 6:37. If they'll come to Him in prayer, and they've come to Him, there's their security. He said, I'll never cast you out. If it's not right to lead them on, and sometimes you're going to know, some of them aren't going to be ready. You're wasting your time, and it's absolutely ridiculous trying to pluck fruit that hadn't grown. Don't try to get everybody on his knees every time. I think there's been a whole lot of people that have been misused that way. You're going to have some judgment and some discernment. And if the Holy Spirit is working and they're ready and they're willing, lead them on to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But if it's not, and you know it's not, just for show or just to count a number on your hand or put a number down in your book, don't go on through with it. Leave it right there. Say, I want you to think about these things and I want to come back and talk with you. Now, don't take that as an excuse to walk off cowardly and never leave anybody to the Lord. Well, I'm going to come back and talk with you some other time because you may never get back. But if you're dealing with somebody that is ready, go ahead and lead them. But don't try to force everybody to be ready and lead them all to the Lord the first time you meet them. It doesn't necessarily work that way. Now, if you do lead somebody to the Lord, then go by and get them. Bring them to Sunday morning services. Sunday morning services is what time we have for that, really. Our Wednesday night meeting, our Sunday night meeting, they're for growing believers, for praise the Lord. We haven't had anybody get saved in them, don't get me wrong. We praise the Lord for it, but our Sunday morning meetings are our evangelistic meeting, mainly where we're gearing to bring people in. In fact, when we invite people, we invite them to Sunday morning meeting. If you can get them, can't get them to come Sunday morning, bring them any other time, certainly. I mean, we're not saying don't come. I'm saying gear yourself to try to bring these people to a Sunday morning meeting where there's going to be a one man preaching. He's going to be preaching an evangelistic message, or he can gear it to an evangelistic message if somebody comes in. Now, do you have any questions on this? Okay. My Bible says how beautiful are the feet of them. How beautiful are the feet of them. Publish good tidings. Carry the gospel message. I have here a map. And I have 27 different districts. I would have liked for it to have been to where there were 50 blocks even in each one of them. It's not that way, 52 blocks. It's not that way. We've done it by main streets and sort of dividing them out. Some of you may be dealing with 6,000 people. Some of you may be dealing with 20,000 people. I don't know. At any rate, what I want you to do is to take an area. Anybody that will. It's not a forced thing. You understand me? It's about you volunteering. Something you'll take that you want to do. I want you to take an area. And this area is going to be your pastorate. You're going to work this area. If anybody gets witnessed to there, it's going to be because you witnessed to them. If anybody gets brought to Ingram Quill Bandera, and that's this area right here where the church is. Anybody like that one? You want this one right here? Okay. All right. Area number two is from 410 to Ingram, Callahan Road, and Bandera. Who'd like that one? All right. Area number three is Callahan, Bandera, Hillcrest, and Babcock, and everything in between. Who wants that? Anybody? Area number four is everything in between Babcock, Callahan, Wurzbach, and Bandera. Who'll take that? Area number five is Calabria Road to Grissom Road to Bandera to 410. Much new homes in Nashville. Area number six is Eckert, Bandera, Wurzbach, Evers, Ebner. We want this one. Area, that's number six. Oh, yeah. Area number seven is Ebner, Evers, Wurzbach, and Babcock.
Can I take it to the line?
Okay. Area number eight is Calabria, Callahan, and Ingram, and out. Area number nine is Callahan, Calabria, Benrus, Ingram. Here's someone that lives in that area. Area number 10 is 410, Marbach, Military Drive, West Commerce. Here are two people that live in that area. Sylvia Cater and Dorian Watts.
I know those people. I know both of those people.
All right. Area number 11.
I let you use that.
Is Benrus, Calabria, Northwest 36th Street, and Quill. Anybody having got an area? Here's some people that live there. We know it. All right, area number 12 is Calabria, Grissom, and Bandera westward. New homes in this area. Some of them building up. It's a large area. Anybody want that one? Brother Taylor's brother lives in that area. Anybody doesn't have an area yet? It's going to take. Why don't you want that one?
Because, can we pick any
sure.
Special place? I was thinking. that it might be good to deal with them. Well, I don't know if I should say this as it sounds good, but with the poor people, because, you know...
Take that area.
Just take that area. 13. Hillcrest, Bandera, St. Cloud, Babcock. Anybody doesn't have an area? Won't take this one. Here. We're just working out. It's just like a town. You don't have everything you're going to find in it. 14. 410, Babcock, Vance Jackson, and 10. Miss Bell lives this area. Miss Ted Miller lives this area. Who doesn't have an area? Take this area. All the areas you take. Somebody else wants an area.
I'll take that area instead of this area.
No, I'll take that area you got right there.
You're closer to me. This is closer, Rima. Thank you.
All right. Nobody else wants an area. All right. How many areas are taken? Fifteen. 14 areas are taken. Number 4 is not taken. Okay, I'd like you to sign your name. We'll just pass it around. Start right here. Take your area. Write your name out beside your area, out beside it. Just pass it around. Now then. I've got more here if anybody wants them. You get your area finished. You want another one? Praise God, we'll give you one. We're just working out. Continually working out around. And these are just people. You say, well, I like the people over yonder. Well, these are people. You're going to evangelize an area. You're going to deal with some people. These are souls. They're souls that are in your hands. And these souls are going to get a message. If they're going to get a message from us, they're going to come from you. It's going to come from you. You're the one that's going to invite them. You're the one that's going to give them tracts. You're the one that's going to win them to the Lord. You're the one that's going to tell them how to be saved. You're the one that's going to deal with them and maybe help them and bless them. Take that area. I want you to pray about it. I want you to drive around and look at it. I want you to drive around the perimeter of it and drive up and down every street of it. And just pray about it. Look at it and say, Lord, these are people. This is my mission field. This is my mission field right here. I don't know everybody here. I don't know whether they're rich people or poor people. You'll probably find both kinds there. Some of rich people don't look rich. Some people that are poor, they don't look that poor, but they're poor in many ways. So, you got all these people, and you got all these people to deal with, and all these people to work with. I want you to pray about it. This is your area. These are your people. These are the people you're going to touch. These are the people you're going to reach. They may not be like the people you came from. They may not be like the people next door, but they're souls. They are eternal souls with a real value. They're people that need the gospel. What I would like for you to do is to be able to reach that area, at least every house this year. This year, every house. And not one single house is missing this year out of that area. Now, some of them have bigger areas than others, and you may not be able to cover that the same way. I know that it's not going to be exactly easy. Let me put it this way. At the minimum, set yourself one block a week. At the minimum. If you're able to do more, praise God. But at the minimum, that you will cover every house on one block, and you write down what you covered. Keep your little list or a little book or something so that you know where you covered. Keep that little card with you so you know that who you're dealing with. And you know that this person, Mr. Mayfield, was real nice. And Miss Smith seemed interested. And man, we can go back. Or I can get somebody like the witness to go by and visit them. Or I can get somebody else to, maybe the Luthers to go by and visit them. Or hey, these people would really like Mitch, you know. I can get old Mitch to go by and see him. Or do you reckon I could get somebody else? These are your people. Some of them are going to have homes that are literally broken up. Some of them are going to have trouble and trials, and it's going to be your job to deal with them, and your job to bless them, and your job to lift them up. You'll never get any better experience. Now, do you have any questions on these right now? Have any questions on them? Anybody have a misunderstanding? Has everyone gotten somebody that's agreed to go visiting with them? How many have got somebody that's agreed to go visit with them? Are there one, two, three? All right?
Not for every week.
Well, sure.
Can we ask some of the guys that are as spectators, but they're not in the tent? Or
sure. Well, let me put it this way. You can go with somebody in the tent. I would rather you get somebody outside and to bring them into it. But if you want to get, if say Rossi and Linda decide they would like to spend a day working together, well, they could take 1 week and take two blocks of Rossi's and then take the next week and take two blocks of Linda's. Or they could go together and visit 1 week of Rossi's and one block of Rossi's and go the same day or another day and go together and visit one block of Linda's. You understand what I mean? You could do that. The more other people you bring in with you, maybe starting out the first few months, it might be better if you go with somebody really interested like this, and after you sort of get the hang of it, you start taking in somebody else with you, see. Now, I personally want to go with every one of you. Brother Taylor is going to go. That's one reason why we didn't take an area. I'm not only going to help Linda and the other high school girl, Laurie, and I'm going to do my best to try to work with them in a little bigger way than what I'm working with the rest of you. You understand? But I'm going to go with every single one of you. We'll work out a time. And you tell me what time is good for you. Now, if you take a sheet of paper and you can write it down, say, I'd like to visit on Saturday from 9 to 11, or I'd like to visit on Friday afternoon from 1 to 3, or whatever. Brother Taylor and I will do our best to work in some time where we'll go with you in the afternoons or the nights, or we'll go with you, say, on even Sunday afternoon or Saturday afternoon, whatever. We're going to do our best to work with you. I want you to begin thinking about two or three different times throughout the week that you would like, maybe, that I could go or Brother Taylor could go. And by the time we meet Tuesday night, you sort of have thought it out. What time you can give, what time you are available, because you know. Has everybody signed up for what they have? Oh, okay. What number you have? Now then, you sort of get this time in your mind as to when you go. And Brother Taylor and I will do our best. By next Tuesday night, we'll sort of be thinking and we'll work it out with you. If we can't, to where we can sort of go with you, maybe every once in a while. Maybe I'll go with you 1 week and I might not see you again for a month. Maybe I might be able to go every week or something like this. I really don't know. But we'll be going with somebody every week to help you out. Now, anybody got a question? The tracks aren't in. Other things aren't in, but you can use whatever tracks we've got.
Do they have any local maps in that
certain areas? No, you can get your city map. You can go to a drugstore and get your city map, and you can buy one of these little booklets like I carry in my car that tells you every street and every block in it and all that like that. It doesn't hurt to have one, I'll tell you for sure. But it won't take you too much time. You'll know your area. Drive that perimeter and then drive up every single one of them. But it doesn't hurt to get a map. Then you'll know those little side streets you missed.
Okay, in this area where I have Callahan and Fort Kent, and he's got Callahan and something like that. Now,
yeah.
Are we going to deal with
Kent
the houses?
You deal with that side of the street.
On this side of the street.
Yeah. Whatever side is your area, you deal, and the other side belongs to somebody else. I don't believe it'll make them mad if you witness somebody when somebody else is afraid. You know. But what I'm saying is for your responsibility, right? For your responsibility. Now,
I just
want to
know.
Yeah, sure. No, that's right. That's a good question. That's right. Somebody else got a question. Does someone else have a question? Anybody? All right. If you don't have any questions, then I want you to pray about this. This is yours. Don't you lose that map. I haven't got another one. That's yours. And don't lose it, because I don't have any more. Now, we've got plenty of other areas that people can reach. I believe we just started. I don't even know which areas you got. You understand what I mean? I do now because I've got the list up here. I'm going to have the list. But I didn't random pick these. I'm going to trust that the Holy Spirit of God did. Amen?
Amen.
You know, when I dropped down into Guatemala, I had no idea which community I was going to go into. I didn't have any idea. I drove for weeks. Just take my wife. Tell me, let's drive. We drive and look at this little town, drive, people everywhere. People everywhere. And I drive, look at that town, I don't know. Should I go there? I drive, look at another town, I don't know. All of a sudden, bang, there was a spot. I'm going to Case Alto. When I got to Case Alto, where did I start to work? There's 60,000 people in the place. Where do you start? There's all sorts of little towns all around.
Well, you just start one area, just see how it opens up. You see just what happens.
I don't know what can happen in this year, but some glorious things can happen. I hope that every one of you at the end of this year is a soul winner. Amen?
Amen.
I hope every one of you is a wise person in this year. Every one of you is a soul winner. Hope every one of you learns to whip discouragement. I hope every one of you has a stronger faith. I hope every one of you grows in the grace of the Lord and learns to understand the Word of God better than you ever did before. I hope every one of you is stronger. And if you can walk out and say, I'm a soldier. You know, there's so many soldiers never let any blood. Not a soldier. A desk jockey or something. I was a soldier. I never let any blood. I tell you what, there's so many Christians that never bring anybody to Christ. Never. To have the responsibility and to have the opportunity is one of the greatest blessings in all the world. I want you to keep working on these verses. I want these verses memorized. Work on them this next week. Are you reading your Bibles and praying an hour a day? Some of you are, some of you aren't. It's not easy, is it? Hey, it's not easy. You thought it was, is it? Even as hard as you might have thought it was first, you thought, well, that's not that much problem. Oh, you found out how lazy you are. You found out how self-willed and rebellious you are, haven't you, already? How proud you are. Tell me.
I want to. I know one thing I want to share. Like you said, I don't know who said it, but take the phone off and work.
I did.
Okay. And turn off the radio and just work it. And I did that the first day, and like, that was good. And today I forgot to take the phone off the hook. And sure enough, you know, the phone rang. And you know, it's really something how Satan doesn't want you to work on the scripture. And another thing too that's really working on me, if you prayed up, you talked about laziness, how all of a sudden it's going to be there. And I got up the 2 days that I got up late, and the kids were tardy one day, and the next day I just didn't take them because I didn't hear the alarm. And it's really something about, you know, like Satan wanted to stay asleep, stay in bed, don't get up. Never in my life, and I can say this honestly, have I ever fall asleep, you know, and not even hear the alarm. I always get up. And even when the alarm is not there, automatically I get up. And it's really something the way Satan's doing.
That's right. He's going to fight you on this.